Hello,
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to today's episode of your program, All Eyes on Africa. As you are aware, the Nigerian president is visiting the United States for the first time after resuming the highest position in Nigeria as the Federal Republic of Nigeria, the president of the Federal Republic of Nigeria. And we are all excited to have him in the United States. And we are going to introduce him to our audience and let them know who our president is. But before I do that, let's sing the national anthem. While we're waiting for the national anthem to come in, I'm sure I have my guests in and some listeners. Okay. While we wait on that, I will just briefly say why we are here. We are using this opportunity to welcome to the United States of America President Muhammad Buhari. Our history tells us that we are a people who appreciate freedom, peace, and fruits of love. We do not believe in hatred or oppression. Our dreams are not driven by totalitarian desires. We believe in our government and expect that public servants will serve the people and not for the people to be oppressed by the government. We expect government to preserve the diversity and promote creativity that will enrich us as a nation to be proud, productive, and prosperous people. It's on this note that I welcome President Muhammad Buhari, the President of the Federal Republic of Nigeria, to the United States of America on this day, July 19th, 2015. And today I have two distinguished special guest speakers who is going to help us to address issues facing us as a nation. Please help me to welcome Dr. K.A. Familoni. He has PhD in economics and research, a professor and consultant economist, a former chairman, Department of Economics at the University of Lagos, and he's also here in the United States visiting friends and family. Also, I have Mr. Alex Egbetokun, a Nigerian living in New York. Mr. Egbetokun is a political and marketing consultant with a lifelong passion for democracy and politics, a graduate of political science from the prestigious Empire State College. On this historic event, I would like to have Dr. Familoni. Are you online?
Yes, I am.
Doctor, okay, please will kindly speak up enough for our audience, our listeners to be able to hear you. And also, I'd like to welcome Mr. Alex Egbetokun. I'm sure you're on the line.
I am. Thank you for having
awesome.
Me.
Awesome. Awesome. Great to have you guys here. We are so excited to hear your view. And before we open up the line for questions from our audience, I have about 15 questions already sent in. And I wanted to know if Mr. Egbetokun and Dr. Familoni will please give us the importance of the president's visit to the United States, and what are the hope or the expectation or the belief why he's visiting us, and what do you all think that the Nigerian in the diaspora and the African community will benefit for the president's own visit. Mr. Farimoni, you want to go ahead and take the floor, or you want Mr. Agbeto continue?
Thank you, moderator. My name is Farimoni, as I've been introduced before by the moderator. I certainly am very elated that our president is coming in to the United States to visit the United States government. We should remember that President Buhari was invited to the G7 meeting in Europe quite recently. And in the meeting, he had tabled Nigeria's concerns and problems before the August host. And they did assure Nigeria, President Buhari and his government, that they were going to help us with our security problems, with our economic problems, with our, and also with our anti-corruption challenges. So the president went ahead and made a lot of preparations, contacted some of the neighboring countries to have their inputs into comprehensive security strategy for the West African sub-region to tackle Boko Haram. So he's here to make presentation to the United States government about what they can do to assist the regional governments in the West Africa, headed by Nigeria, Niger, Chad, and Cameroon, to ensure that we can put an end to this Boko Haram insurgency. And also, because of the problems Nigeria has with the economy right now, the economy is prostrated a little bit. You can see there's a lot of inflation. The foreign exchange reserves have gone down. There's a huge unemployment. State governments cannot pay salaries. And investment strategy and investment projects are suffering. Not adequate financing. So, President Buhari has come here to solicit economic assistance from the United States government, and also to solicit for defense assistance from the Pentagon. So it will adequate investment financing, and if they can assist us with repatriating some of the limited funds and the forces of Nigeria into American and European banks, then we can begin to be able to do what we can do about improving the economy. You see, Nigeria needs a lot of resources, and we can have what I would call capital reversal. Capital, instead of capital flight, you have capital flight reversal into the country. Then I think we're on the right road to recovery. So I think President Buhari is here on the good intentions, and we all should pray for the government to.
Awesome. Thank you so very much. And Mr. Alex Egbetoko, you take it. We have 5 minutes for you to.
Thank you, everyone, for having me here. One of the things that we need to note is that President Buhari is a transformative leader who experienced the struggle of Nigeria. And equally, when you look at the United States, when we're talking about democracy, the United States continues to be the global advocate for liberty, democracy. So we understand what it takes to manage the area. And I think for President Buhari coming to the United States, he will be able to build the gap of knowledge between the West and Nigeria. Nigeria government needs the United States. Our United States needs Nigeria. We need to work hand in hand. We've had a lot of gap in relationship. And another thing we've got to know is our youth are everywhere. How can we, I think the president coming to the United States, that will give him opportunity to exchange ideas to other times, see how we can use resources abroad to solve our problem back home. And on this note, I would like to welcome you and everyone who are contributing towards this, that this is a good opportunity to interact with the president. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you so very much. And I have a lot of callers in. If you can please mute yourself, there's a lot of noise in the background so that we all can enjoy the conversation. Please. On this note, let me say thank you so very much, Dr. Ofa Miloni and Mr. Alex Egbetokun. I have a couple of questions, like I said, that people have sent in, you know, and I would like to first of all speak the one for the National Youth Service Corps. As we all know that the young are the future leaders of our country, and we have challenges currently facing them now with unemployment. How is this great national program that foster cultural assimilation, knowledge and integration? The young up and coming generation needs to be inspired to embrace national service and community programs. I will quote the late President Kennedy, says that think of what you can do for your country and not what your country can do for you. Dr. Farimoni, do you want to answer that question for us and how we can realize sufficient generation and, you know, encourage this generation to do more for their country and how we can also help them to be able to achieve that?
Thank you, Magrico. I think the unemployment problem in Nigeria is a very serious one. If I was going to call public unemployment to the country. Now, how can we tackle this structural problem? I've talked about this problem for quite a long time, and I believe that what we need to do is to have the surplus labor available in the country. A lot of the youth are unemployed. I remember if you look at the search of unemployment in Nigeria, there is substantial graduate unemployment. And all these judges are quite highly skilled. The protect technical ability, so with a little bit of training, their effort can be channeled into a lot of rural and urban capital development and redevelopment programs. So what I would like to suggest is that each local government in Nigeria should have what are called a job call. Now, in the job call, a lot of high school graduates, a lot of university graduates who are unemployed should be drafted to that call in each local government. And, of course, there are engineering departments in several universities in every state in Nigeria. So the technical skills, the technological skills, the equipment, technical equipment available, this university can college for technology, can be utilized to train and train all the staff on the projects. Once we pass adequate people, we can now be mobilized to or sort of generate what I'll call rural capital and urban capital by constructing rural network roads. Halls, dispensaries, schools, university schools, and do all kinds of innovation on the capital development project that will be very, very labor intensive. So I believe local government can do a lot in this area. Each local government will have a job call, the properly financed, properly manage and deploy into the dollar needs of each local government area, including both social and physical infrastructure capital. And that's it.
Great, thank you. Mr. Alex Egbetokun, your take.
Thank you. What I would like to add to it, and I want to thank the doctor for his contribution, the one approach that I think we need to take into account is that we don't want to create a program that will promote segregation in our country. Majority of the program we have in Nigeria is becoming a tool for segregation. What did I mean by this? There are some people who don't go to college. They are still part of Nigerians. As a government, I have responsibility to take care of that. Now, the only program we have in Nigeria today that can promote national unity is the youth service staff. We don't have any other program. So, if I'm an Awusa board, how did I understand the Yoruba board? My suggestion is we need to have a program that I will call something like Eagle Camp. It can embrace the idea to provide mentoring services. We can use them in form of national guide, okay, to even reduce crime. Imagine a situation whereby you have people on the street. How many bullets is in a gun? And you have your Eagle Cup members who are just going to foster unity in a community. They can respond to crisis, and before you know it, they can assist the police to manage crime control. We need to take into account everybody in what we are doing. Not just thinking, okay, oh, you have to go to college. And when you go to college, you are doing the program for you. Remember in 1972, one of the problems we have in Nigeria is where the Middle Year Award. When they came with that Middle Year Award, they want to give it to people who are under anesthesia. What happened? The market women were so smart and able to make counter moves. That led us to inflation, big inflation that I think even up to Nigeria later. So, any program we want to think of, which I think we can, or we need to count on or rely on is our creativity. And the youth of Nigeria today are business leaders. We need to bring them closer in everything we are doing. I will be looking forward at the president, if he can appoint one of these younger people as his minister, he can guide them, because these young youth have knowledge. Though we need us to guide them in terms of wisdom. And when you're looking at the technology around nowadays, they are far more used to it than people of my generation. So, I mean, if I'm saying it carefully, we can use the job called so-called Eagle Corp for job skill development. We can help them to give direction, and at the same time, it will foster national unity. Think about it. In America today, there are lots of things that need to benefit from the government. So why should I believe that I'm in Nigeria when there's nothing there for me, when the government is not there for me? Every child matters. There's nothing like a limousine. They are limousine because the way we see them as a limousine, that is the consequence we are paying with the so-called Boko Haram today. If we have taken this, the so-called limousine and see them as children, maybe through a program we call the Family Act, whereby I believe Nigerian government can take full responsibility of Nigerian youth, maybe from age of 1 to maybe of 7, according to the budget. And the United States and other Western world will be able to help us. So we should start pushing programs calling different names every now and then. Military alone cannot solve the problem we are facing. We can solve this problem. All we need to do is start talking to one another, exchanging ideas. I will be there. That is my contribution.
Thank you so very much. Sir. We'll have to quickly move on to the next question. It stated that the general consensus is that Nigeria cannot afford the cost of operating the present structure of governance. What can the country do to significantly lower the cost of governance? And that's another issue that is facing our country. And besides that is the corruption, which I have questioned on that, but I'll let Dr. Fani Moni answer that for us.
Thank you, Madrita. There is no doubt about the fact that the cost of governance in Nigeria is too high, that the country cannot even afford to finance the present structure of governance efficiently and effectively. What do we have to do about it? Can we, if we cannot afford the present structure, then the challenge is for us to see what we can do to optimize our strategy. My own feelings are that, since most of our states are not viable, there is no point in having a proliferation of states. At present, we have 36 in Nigeria. That's just too many. We cannot afford it. A lot of these states just nearly depend on federal revenue. Every day they go to the federal location committee meeting, each state commissioner of finance goes there, counts in their cap in hand to beg for money. The internal revenue generation is very, very low. So if we can focus on internally generated revenue, minimize dependence on the federal government, the state will become viable. So if we want the government to be run efficiently and smartly, we need to have smart government. If we are going to do that, we need to ask ourselves the question, what is the optimal size of government in Nigeria? Do we need 36 state government? Most of the government can say is no. I mean, a lot of the states are not viable. For political reasons, every local government even would like to have a state. I mean, that's ridiculous. So my suggestion is we abolish the present 36 state structure. We have regional governments before. Now we have zones in Nigeria. We have 6 zones in Nigeria. We can turn each zone into a region. So we can have 6 regional governments. We could have a federal government at the federal level. At the federal level, we also have a bicameral legislature, both the Senate and the Federal House of Representatives. So at the regional level, we have each regional government. And at the local government level, I suggest we reduce the number of local governments from 774 to 360. Each federal constituency now becomes a local government area or a metropolitan government area. So we have 360 local government areas or metropolitan government areas and 6 regional governments. That would be enough. And then we have a federal government and a bicameral legislature at Abuja. Now each regional government will have its own maybe bicameral legislature, its own Senate, which initially in the First Republic was called the House of Chiefs, and of course its own parliament. So I think if we move in that direction, we will dramatically lower the cost of government. We can make legislation a pattern affair. Only professionals should be elected to go to the various parliament. And they only need to go there on a part-time basis. They don't have to be full-time. We don't need full-time legislation in Nigeria. So we can reduce the cost of governance that way. Of course, we talk about corruption, which should be able to lower substantially the cost of governance by minimizing the incidence of corruption in Nigeria. And of course, I guess we can ask that question about corruption later. We can spell out some strategies to minimize or optimize corruption in Nigeria. But I think there is no doubt about it that it is an emergency situation. It is very, very urgent. We must lower the cost of governance in Nigeria. Otherwise, we will not be able to liberate ourselves from the slavery of government. I mean, look at what is happening. In most states, 97% of their revenue goes to personal costs. So how do you build the roads? How do you generate the infrastructure, social and physical infrastructure that are needed to maximize the welfare of the common man? So that's the problem. So if we can minimize the cost of governance, I think we'll be on the right road.
Thank you so much, Dr. Fami Loni. Talking about good governance and how we can effectively lower, the cost of our spending in Africa, particularly Nigeria. Talking about the new president, there's another question that was sent in, and I think if we elect more women in the government, I'm sure we are good manager when it comes to managing issues or finances, because we tend to manage home front and we do it effectively. There's one question that was sent in that I would like Mr. Alex Egbetokun to please answer this for us. Do you think that President Buhari, or what do you think he would do in terms of having women actively engaged in his administration? And I give you only 3 minutes because we are running out of time, but we're going to continue this and we will have more time to debate on issues at hand.
It will be good if the President Buhari is able to provide opportunity for women in his government. And I think that will help the nation a great deal, but I would not agree 100% that women alone can solve the problem. We all need to work hand in hand. And it's up to the president to strike the balance in that way. But I agree with you, it's important to provide opportunities for women. And I'm sure that the president is looking into that. He's a good president. We need to keep on encouraging him. We need to keep on criticizing him so that he can be at his best. We should not keep on rubbing his back as though President Buhari. We want him to be a transformative leader that he is. And he can only be a transformative leader when we are exchanging ideas like this.
Awesome. And I have couple of other questions. Let me see if the person that sent it in is online and he'll be able to answer his question. And this in reference to the youth corps on the local level. Do you think that students actually need to start while they are still in school? And how can... Okay, I think that's the question. It says, do you think that the student can actually start the youth service course? If you want, Dr. Farimoni, can you answer that for us?
Well, like I said earlier, our youth comprised of both secondary school students, university school students. Mm-hmm. Now we have secondary school and tertiary levels of education in Nigeria. Now, graduates of the institution or dropouts of the institution have a problem in being absorbed into the labor market. Now, if they have a problem and the economy is not dynamic enough to absorb them, then what do we have to do? This is where we need to have a labor-intensive strategy. Like I suggested earlier, if the Ministry of Youth can take up the challenge of organizing job corps in each of the local government areas in Nigeria and ensure that all the unemployed and all the surplus youth, people who are not underemployed or disgustingly employed, are all drafted into that youth corps and given proper training and their resources, then they can embark on rural and urban capital development projects in both the social infrastructural sector and the fiscal infrastructural sector. When they're in the hall, they can be, of course, given the money, they can be paid a minimum wage or adequate honorarium because they need to keep body and soul together. This way, when they graduate, they will have been equipped. The local governments will have been highly developed. A lot of, in fact, if you take agriculture for example, there are lots of projects that we can really implement. We can design and implement and negotiate a lot of projects in the agrarian sector. And this is where the challenge is. We can make the economy very dynamic. Some of the sectors like agriculture, some of the oil services sector, we can make that they can be employment generating. You know,
we're going to. I don't mean to cut you off, Dr. Faminori, but we'll have to bring it to a close at this moment because of our time. Like I said, we just wanted to open this platform to welcome our president to the United States of America. We thank our audience, the listeners. We thank those people that have sent in their questions. Unfortunately, we couldn't get to everyone, but we'll continue on this conversation tomorrow, and we will also blast it and carry it on live. Thank you so very much for coming, Dr. Familoni and Mr. Alex Egbetokun. Thank you so very much. And you're enjoying the rest of the evening.
Thank you very much for having us.
Uh-huh.